Today is the 23rd day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and wow, it's great to see you. Great to be here. Wow, I'm grateful for the place that we can come today to gather around the scriptures and just kind of lower the shoulders, let it all out, be ourselves. We're here to let the scriptures speak for themselves. And so we open ourselves. I'm glad that we can be here today to take the next step forward. And that next move is back out into the territory of 2 Chronicles. Before we take another step forward in the letter to the Romans. 2 Chronicles 8, 11 through 10, 19 today. Solomon moved Pharaoh's daughter up from the city of David to the palace he had built for her, for he said, "My wife must not live in the palace of King David of Israel, for the places where the ark of the Lord has entered are holy." Then Solomon offered burnt sacrifices to the Lord on the altar of the Lord, which he had built in front of the temple's porch. He observed the daily requirements for sacrifices that Moses had specified for Sabbaths, new moon festivals, and the three annual celebrations: the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Shelters. As his father David had decreed, Solomon appointed the divisions of the priests to do their assigned tasks, the Levitical orders to lead worship and help the priests with their daily tasks, and the divisions of the gatekeepers to serve at their assigned gates. This was what David, the man of God, had ordered. They did not neglect any detail of the king's orders pertaining to the priests, Levites, and treasuries. All the work ordered by Solomon was completed, from the day the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid until it was finished. The Lord's temple was completed. Then Solomon went to Ezion-Geber and to Elat on the coast in the land of Edom. Huram sent him ships and some of his sailors, men who were well acquainted with the sea. They sailed with Solomon's men to Ophir and took from there 450 talents of gold, which they brought back to King Solomon. When the queen of Sheba heard about Solomon, she came to challenge him with difficult questions. She arrived in Jerusalem with a great display of pomp, bringing with her camels carrying spices, a very large quantity of gold and precious gems. She visited Solomon and discussed with him everything that was on her mind. Solomon answered all her questions. There was no question too complex for the king. When the queen of Sheba saw for herself Solomon's wisdom, the palace he had built, the food in his banquet hall, his servants and attendants in their robes, his cupbearers in their robes, and his burnt sacrifices which he presented in the Lord's temple, she was amazed. She said to the king, "The report I heard in my own country about your wise sayings and insight was true. I did not believe these things until I came and saw them with my own eyes. Indeed, I didn't hear even half the story. Your wisdom surpasses what was reported to me. Your attendants, who stand before you at all times and hear your wise sayings, are truly happy. May the Lord your God be praised because he favored you by placing you on his throne as the one ruling on his behalf. Because of your God's love for Israel and his lasting commitment to them, he made you king over them, so you could make just and right decisions." She gave the king 120 talents of gold and a very large quantity of spices and precious gems. The quantity of spices the queen of Sheba gave King Solomon has never been matched. Huram's servants, aided by Solomon's servants, brought gold from Ophir as well as fine timber and precious gems. With the timber, the king made steps for the Lord's temple and royal palace, as well as stringed instruments for the musicians. No one had seen anything like them in the land of Judah before that. King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba everything she requested, more than what she had brought him. And she left and returned to her homeland with her attendants. Solomon received 666 talents of gold per year, besides what he collected from the merchants and traders. All the Arabian kings and the governors of the land also brought gold and silver to Solomon. King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold. 600 measures of hammered gold were used for each shield. He also made 300 small shields of hammered gold. 300 measures of gold were used for each of those shields. The king placed them in the palace of the Lebanon forest. The king made a large throne decorated with ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. There were 6 steps leading up to the throne, and a gold footstool was attached to the throne. The throne had 2 armrests with a statue of a lion standing on each side. There were 12 statues of lions on the 6 steps, 1 lion at each end of each step. There was nothing like it in any other kingdom. All of King Solomon's cups were made of gold, and all the household items in the palace of the Lebanon forest were made of pure gold. There were no silver items, for silver was not considered very valuable in Solomon's time. The king had a fleet of large merchant ships manned by Huram's men that sailed the sea. Once every 3 years, the fleet came into port with cargoes of gold, silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks. King Solomon was wealthier and wiser than any of the kings of the earth. All the kings of the earth wanted to visit Solomon to see him display his God-given wisdom. Year after year, visitors brought their gifts, which included items of silver, items of gold, clothes, perfume, spices, horses, and mules. Solomon had 4,000 stalls for his chariot horses and 12,000 horses. He kept them in assigned cities and also with him in Jerusalem. He ruled all the kingdoms from the Euphrates River to the land of the Philistines, as far as the border of Egypt. The king made silver as plentiful in Jerusalem as stones. Cedar was as plentiful as sycamore fig trees are in the foothills. Solomon acquired horses from Egypt and from all the lands. The rest of the events of Solomon's reign from start to finish are recorded in the annals of Nathan the prophet, the prophecy of Ahijah the Shilonite, and the vision of Iddo the seer pertaining to Jeroboam son of Nebat. Solomon ruled over all Israel from Jerusalem for 40 years. And Solomon passed away and was buried in the city of his father David. His son Rehoboam replaced him as king. Rehoboam traveled to Shechem, for all Israel had gathered in Shechem to make Rehoboam king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard the news, he was still in Egypt, where he had fled from King Solomon. Jeroboam returned from Egypt. They sent for him, and Jeroboam and all Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, "Your father made us work too hard. Now if you lighten the demands he made and don't make us work as hard, we will serve you." He said to them, "Go away for 3 days and then return to me." So the people went away. King Rehoboam consulted with the older advisors who had served his father, Solomon, when he had been alive. He asked them, "How do you advise me to answer these people?" They said to him, "If you are fair to these people, grant their request and are cordial to them, they will be your servants from this time forward. But Rehoboam rejected their advice and consulted the young advisors who served him, with whom he had grown up. He asked them, "How do you advise me to respond to these people who said to me, 'Lessen the demands your father placed on us'?" The young advisors with whom Rehoboam had grown up said to him, "Say this to these people who have said to you, 'Your father made us work hard, but now lighten our burden.' Say this to them, 'I am a lot harsher than my father. My father imposed heavy demands on you. I will make them even heavier. My father punished you with ordinary whips. I will punish you with whips that really sting your flesh.'" Jeroboam and all the people reported to Rehoboam on the third day, just as the king had ordered when he said, "Return to me on the third day." The king responded to the people harshly. He rejected the advice of the older men and followed the advice of the younger ones. He said, "My father imposed heavy demands on you. I will make them even heavier. My father punished you with ordinary whips. I will punish you with whips that really sting your flesh." The king refused to listen to the people, because God was instigating this turn of events so that he might bring to pass the prophetic announcement he had made through Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam, son of Nebat. When all Israel saw that the king refused to listen to them, the people answered the king, "We have no portion in David, no share in the son of Jesse. Return to your homes, O Israel. Now look after your own dynasty, O David." So all Israel returned to their homes. Rehoboam continued to rule over the Israelites who lived in the cities of Judah. King Rehoboam sent Hadoram, the supervisor of the work crews, out after them, but the Israelites stoned him to death. King Rehoboam managed to jump into his chariot and escape to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the Davidic dynasty to this very day. Romans 8, 9-25. "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, this person does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is your life because of righteousness. Moreover, if the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will also make your mortal bodies alive through his Spirit who lives in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery, leading again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself bears witness to our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, then heirs, namely, heirs of God, and also fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, so we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that our present suffering cannot even be compared to the coming glory that will be revealed to us. For the creation eagerly waits for the revelation of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of God, who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will also be set free from the bondage of decay into the glorious freedom of God's children. for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers together until now. Not only this, but we ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we eagerly await our adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with endurance. Psalm 18, 16 through 36. He reached down from above and took hold of me. He pulled me from the surging water. He rescued me from my strong enemy, from those who hate me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in my day of calamity, but the Lord helped me. He brought me out into a wide open place. He delivered me because he was pleased with me. The Lord repaid me for my godly deeds. He rewarded my blameless behavior. For I have obeyed the Lord's commands. I have not rebelled against my God. For I am aware of all his regulations, and I do not reject his rules. I was innocent before him and kept myself from sinning. The Lord rewarded me for my godly deeds. He took notice of my blameless behavior. You prove to be loyal to one who is faithful. You prove to be trustworthy to one who is innocent. You prove to be reliable to one who is blameless. But you prove to be deceptive to one who is perverse. For you deliver oppressed people, but you bring down those who have a proud look. Indeed, you light my lamp, Lord. My God illuminates the darkness around me. Indeed, with your help I can charge against an army. By my God's power I can jump over a wall. The one true God acts in a faithful manner. The Lord's promise is reliable. He is a shield to all who take shelter in him. Indeed, who is God besides the Lord? Who is a protector besides our God? The one true God gives me strength. He removes the obstacles in my way. He gives me the agility of a deer. He enables me to negotiate the rugged terrain. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend even the strongest bow. You give me your protective shield. Your right hand supports me. Your willingness to help enables me to prevail. You widen my path. My feet do not slip. Proverbs 19:26. The one who robs his father and chases away his mother is a son who brings shame and disgrace. Okay, so wow, in the book of Romans, we are at a point where Paul has been laying out systematically a bunch of things. We are now at a place where we can begin to view the implication of what he's arguing. And man, that sets us in a position of great hope. So Paul says, the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. Like, just let that marinate for a second. Like, slow everything down for a second. Turn that one over in your mind until it's not a theological concept that you shake your head yes to, or a metaphor that explains something different. Let it just sit there. the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. Like, personalize that. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in me. What if that were the full-blown reality that we live in? Like, what does that change? Because a lot of things would have to shift. Like, how could we then feel abandoned by God ever again if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me? We could go on and find all of the implications in the way that this touches our reality and changes things. So, why do we not live into that reality? It's fundamentally simple. We choose not to. We choose our own voice, or we choose another influential voice in our lives over the voice of the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that is within us. And as we have been told in the scriptures, we will obey whatever we submit ourselves to. But we do have a choice. Paul says as much. I quote him, "You have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its power and its dictates, you're going to die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." And Paul told us that God didn't just tolerate us or accept us to be fearful slaves of his, but rather children who could call him Father, or Abba, Father. Abba, that's an Aramaic term of endearment. It's like in English how we would say Daddy or Papa. That is a humbling implication. Paul is describing a father-child bond in which the child, and I know this hasn't been true for like everybody in the story, in our community or in this story, but he's describing a father-child bond in which the child has full access within a loving, nurturing relationship, not an abusive relationship. So to find ourselves in that reality of a nurturing father whose immortal spirit is inside of us, that is good news. But Paul says, like, yeah, that's good news. There's more. And I quote him, "Since we are his children, then we are his heirs. Together with Christ, we are heirs of the glory of God." But if we're to share that glory, then we have to be willing to share the suffering. But whatever we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that he will reveal to us later. So Paul is saying, the struggle is real, and it's hard, and sometimes it's impossible, but it's normal. That is a part of life. Suffering was a part of Jesus' life. But the larger story that's going on is that God's Holy Spirit is inside of us and will care for us as a loving Father would through it all. We're in the process of inheriting God's glorious freedom from the power of sin and death. I mean, that is the good news. And it could fill all the pages that are in the world. We're just scratching the surface, but we have a place to start. Turn these things over in your mind. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. Turn that over and over and over in your heart as you go through the day. Maybe allow yourself to be fathered by God today. Gosh, that is so humbling and so needed. You're not alone. I'm not alone. We're not abandoned, nor will we ever be. It may be difficult. It may be really, really hard right now. But everybody has their share. And it's normal and temporary, the way Paul puts it. Nothing can compare to what's coming. So the longing for restoration that we feel in the depths of our soul pulls us forward toward that very thing. Everything, no matter what you feel right now, is going to be okay. And that I hate saying how, I can feel how that can land depending on the circumstance. And yet somebody's got to say it. Somebody's got to say, yeah, you're dying right now. Life is upside down right now. You're torn apart right now. You don't know which way to go right now. It's confusing. You have so much anxiety and so much regret at the same time right now. That's right now. Yes, all of it. All of it hurts that bad, for sure. It's all real. It's all hurting right now. You're gonna make it, though. You're gonna make it. So am I. We're gonna make it. There is hope out there. And we may not have it, but it's out there. Like a blinking red beacon. All we gotta do is step in that direction. We're gonna be okay. One way or the other, this is not the end. This is now. And now might hurt like hell, but that's not the end of the story. We have a ways to go yet. And we're gonna make it. And according to Paul, the joy that awaits us, well, it's beyond any words I could say. Beyond any words that I or any of us can manufacture. It's something that we have to live into and arrive at. We won't get there staying here, though. So, one foot in front of the other toward hope. And the promise that is laid out and the implications that we have a nurturing Father. We have a Spirit of the Almighty God that raised Christ from the dead inside of us. We have what we need to do this. And so, Father, those things are true. They do not feel true for all of us, because life has a way of being like a blender, and we're just spinning, and this feels like we're being cut up. But what we're told today is that you're not unaware and you are not distant. You are within us, and we can reach for you as a nurturing Father. That is a game changer. And we are told that the Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit of God, that you live inside of us. And so our access to you is closer than any person. So may we try this on for size as the reality that it is. As we move through this day, may we find your comfort is available, your presence is near, and your power is unspeakable. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. and the Daily Audio Bible app. That's home base. Check in, be connected, stay connected. Check out the new sections that are in the app, the community section. Be familiar with all of those buttons and where they go and what they do. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop I was mentioning yesterday. Check out Wind Farm, the Wind Farm coffee and tea. If you are a coffee or a tea drinker and that's part of your ritual, in the morning or the evening or whenever, we're roasting it fresh, sending it directly to you. And so check that all out. If you like it, we can send it to you for a year. If you get a year subscription, we will send you a free clean canteen. Those are hard to come by, but a 20th anniversary clean canteen will be on its way to you. So check those things out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you deeply and humbly and profoundly. There is a link on the homepage. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey, DAB. This is Abraham from Texas. I called a while back about prayers for my wife and I, who've been going through a rough time and separation. I think we had already done that by the time I called. But anyway, she's been gone for almost 4 months now. It's been very rough coming home to an empty house. We have a young son, 8-year-old son, and he's having a hard time with it as well. And at this point, I'm not too sure what to do. I've never really gave her a reason to leave. I didn't want her to, but she needs some prayer, some encouragement. Just, I know that you guys pray and have been praying for me. I just wanted to give an update on that. So she still hasn't came back. I tried a few things, but she's just not really wanting to work on things. So anyways, keep us in prayer. I'm believing for breakthrough. Need a miracle in my life for this marriage to be restored. I wish and I pray for better things for our marriage, and just to be able to show our son what God does with restoration, but primarily for us. And anyway, so just need some encouragement. Thank you for your prayers.
Good morning. My name is Karen. I would like to be called Redeemed by the Lamb. I would like to share a poem God gave me back in 1989, when I was feeling unworthy of God's love or anyone's love. As a book, my life is like, and through the pages, I can share the light. My life was different not so long ago. There were mistakes in the pages I couldn't unsew. Someone I loved said I was dumb. I wrote down every word and held my tongue. I became very selfish, looking for assurance, acceptance, for that I would dance. And more bad pages would look me in the face. I tried so desperately, but they wouldn't erase. The world says you just have to understand. And drugs won't erase the pages. They just come back again. But God is love, and He made a great trade. The price of His Son for those pages were made. He erased all the lies and the sin wrote therein. The power of His blood perfectly erasing all sin. In the book, I don't write my words anymore. Jesus writes His word. He knows the score. He said God loves me and I'm precious to him. He tells me of his plans for me, not where I have been. Blessings.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Misty from the beautiful state of West Virginia. I have an urgent prayer request for my mother. She's getting ready to have surgery on her carotid artery in her neck. And originally it was supposed to be on a date that I could be there with her. And they've moved it now. So first I'm praying that they can move it to a date that I can be there for her. But if not, then that God will guide the doctor's hands, and I think she has to stay over one night. So I pray that she heals properly and is able to go home the next day and recovers quickly from this. She is in her 70s, so she's up in age, and so I just worry about her. She's pretty feeble. So if you could please be praying for her. And I also wanted to pray for the lady that called in. This is July 20th, that had some surgery coming up on July 24th, I believe. And I'm praying for her and the doctor to God. God to God, the doctor's hands. It seems to be some sort of cancer surgery, which I'm very familiar with. I had some surgery about a year and a half ago. Lord, I pray that she's able to have a successful surgery and remove all the cancer. I pray that she does not have to have chemo or radiation.
Shalom, shalom. Good morning, Tap family. It is July 20th, and I am calling in to come beside three women that called in asking for prayers. Angie, you called in. Angie, thank you so much for calling. What a blessing your call was. You feel like you were not obedient to the Lord. Well, just know that he is a merciful and forgiving God, and he knows your heart. And I know that he will give you so many more opportunities to be obedient to him, and you know he loves you. A woman called in for her girlfriend, her daughter, Skylar, who has Marfan's disease. Sweet sister, I am praying for God's supernatural healing and for his hand in this situation to supernaturally heal Skylar. That's my daughter's name, so that really touched my heart. And a woman called in, Latrice, I think that's what you said her name was. Young woman, just married 2 years and had a baby and was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And we are lifting her up, Father God. We are praying to you, Abba Father. We are praying for healing, Father, in the name of Jesus. We are praying the blood of Jesus over each one of these situations, Father. You are the mighty healer. Father, you are the Father of possible when we think that it is an impossible situation. Please keep us posted, sweet sisters. We love you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray.
Hi, this is Angus from Canada. I'd like to pray for such a time as this. I heard her prayer request on July the 22nd. Join me in prayer. Father, I lift up such a time as this and her husband to you. You see him in ICU. You see the emergency dialysis, and you know every detail the doctors are facing. Please strengthen his body, guide the medical team with wisdom, and let the treatment accomplish what is needed. Surround his wife with your presence in that lonely house. Quiet the fear, uphold her heart, Lord, and remind her that she's not alone. Give her wisdom for every decision and carry them both through this hour. We ask for mercy, healing, strength, and peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And Father, I just would like to lift up a general prayer for every person in this community who is sick, in pain, waiting for results, facing treatment, or praying for someone they love. You know every name, every need. Please bring healing according to your wisdom and mercy and strengthen weary bodies, comfort anxious hearts, and guide every doctor and all the medical teams working to help all these people. Let those who feel alone become deeply aware of your presence. Give courage for today, grace for each decision, and peace that does not depend on circumstances. We place every life into your loving hands and trust you to remain near. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello, family. This is for such a time as this. Now, I just wanted to give you an update on everything. The 15th of July, my husband was taken into the hospital. By the next day, the 16th, I had to make a life and death decision with no guarantee that he would even make it through, even the hope for him to live. By Sunday, before the request was even played, Sunday, they extubated my husband, and he did well, but he was not speaking, so I did not know if he was mentally there. By Monday morning, he was speaking and almost back to the normal person he was. And yesterday, on Tuesday, they moved him to inpatient rehab to get him strong again because he had been in bed so long. So anyway, I just want you to know God answers prayers. And he answered them before y'all even heard them. So I love you all. Continue to pray for me and my husband. I am physically just exhausted and trying to heal myself. So I love you all and thank you for the prayers. Bye.